This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Bachelorette Rehab Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
You know what? I'm ready to just get all of my stuffed animals together and ignore you for the next hour.
That sounds perfect. Sounds like a nice evening.
It does, doesn't it? But I won't do that. You know what? We're doing a tag team today.
I know. I'm so excited.
I think that's proper wrestling terminology.
We'll find out.
I'm excited to bring back best friend of the podcast, Mari Forth. Mari, how are you doing?
Hey, guys. And I will raise your having a teddy bear and ignoring Amy with pummeling Amy with said teddy bear, because that's just a natural progression of dates, apparently.
I need to go to Build-A-Bear real quick and just get some kind of thing to defend myself.
Because obviously that's exactly where we're going, and that makes sense. So glad to be back. I feel like I continue my streak of just impeccable timing. This was one of my favorite episodes of the season for numerous reasons, and I can't wait to dive into it with you guys. But of course, I can't do it alone.
No, it can't be just the three of us. What fun would that be?
I mean,
besides a ton of fun. But.
Exactly. I needed backup. I needed backup this time. I needed my tag team partner, my co-host, my better half, if you will, Mr. Mascot. Matt, how's it going?
I was with you until you said your better half, Mari. That would, no, but it's great. And I'm happy to be here. I am new to The Bachelorette-ish. I've only watched a few episodes here and there until a few days ago when I dove deep in and immersed myself into this world. I have 29 pages of notes.
Oh my God. I haven't written 29 pages of notes in the 7 years we've been doing
it. It's been a trance.
Total.
Most of it could go in the garbage, but a lot of it is useful. One note I have here is that one of you said something to the effect of that you would listen to me and Mari emulate dripping water? What? I don't know why that's in my notes.
Yeah. That was a great shout out.
I like it. Yes.
I don't remember us saying that, but it absolutely sounds like something we would say.
I remember.
Yes.
And that's what this 29 pages is all about. Actually, that takes up one whole page. So there,
a plug for your podcast. Ready. It's like, oh, let me take these detailed notes.
If you guys have had like a poster for your podcast, you can put as like the, you know,
the reviews.
Yeah, the reviews. Yeah.
I can picture it now. We're so excited to have you.
Are you trying to tell us that you haven't been a lifelong Bachelor, Bachelorette fan?
Look, here's what happened. So I grew up watching, like, my favorite show growing up was Flavor of Love, and I was in the of love genre. And so I think that kind of, like, that was my experience. Once I had that, I had to get away from the Bachelor, Bachelorette life because I had Brett Michaels and Flava Flav and like New York. And you know what? This would have been overwhelming. I would have been a completely different person if I was a Bachelorette stan or a Bachelor stan for that matter.
You're like, I'm not ready to let all these shows. Yeah. Not ready to let them define your personality. So you have to veer away.
That's right. It was like an intervention kind of moment. And I ran away from it. I ran as fast as possible until now. Now I'm back. It's almost like I'm on the racetrack in a BMW doing Tokyo Drift type of moves. That's me back in the dating show game. I don't know. Dating shows.
That's about right. That's about right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we always useless love when dates. We can get. Yeah, we love when yeah. we get that fresh perspective. So this is going to be exciting.
Oh yeah.
Because we're like old hats at this point. We've seen it all. So I'm so excited to like hear your fresh perspectives and like, did you enjoy the season so far? Are you gripped? Who are you enjoying? Who are you liking? Who do you hate? Who do you love to hate? Tell me everything.
Oh my gosh.
Matt, you're start? On the other side. You're like on the other side of the table from, you know, we're normally the ones who are getting fresh perspectives on wrestling. And now we're getting your fresh perspective on The Bachelorette. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
I think that part of it that's cool is that I really feel like watching it with my fresh perspective. I feel so young, like yeah, so fresh. Is that it's kind of given me this view of like looking at the edit, like who's going to make it far, mm-hmm. who's not going to make it far, and like a few people stood out to me. I first of all, you know, Chris G, who I don't want to spoil anything from this episode yet, but I thought Chris G looked like one of the Calafiori brothers, oh, or maybe that's Chris S. I don't know. They all look this. I don't. One of them.
The one Clayton's with the beard, or the one without the beard?
The one without the beard.
So okay, that's Chris S.
The new villain.
Shows
S
what I know. Shows what I know. So, or maybe it was the other one. See. I couldn't tell you. Anyway, I kind of honestly, I don't know who I like. I just think that, you know, Clayton, Brandon, Rick, Nate, even Olust seem like standouts to me. But like is a strong word week to week. It's really an evolution with these guys.
It's a journey.
It is. A journey. Yes.
Yeah, well, I think the producers will love that you called out Clayton.
Because, right.
Because they haven't been doing a good job at calling out Clayton.
No, but he is.
Yeah.
I still can't get over the ruler spanking. And I've heard some of the conversation about him. Honestly, he's nothing special to me. He's tall. He has muscles. That's great, right? He's the least exciting though. I didn't call him out because I liked him. I just called him out because it seemed like he didn't, like, literally I wrote in my 29 pages of notes here from the first episode, who didn't look dumb? And he was on my list of people who didn't look dumb despite the ruler spanking. So that's where he stands out. But yeah, I kind of feel like we're getting a little bit of like purple Clayton a la purple Kelly from Survivor, and I don't mind it. He could go.
And Amy and Haley, I want to ask you guys this, because I mean, we all knew coming into this season that Clayton, were we gonna spoil? Don't spoil that last
one. Spoilies alert. I think it's kind of like an open secret at this point. I'm sorry if this is news to you. It's just very hard to talk around. Very hard to talk. I hope you guys understand.
And yeah, I even knew
that from like these past podcasts. So I think the listeners should know.
And if, I mean, for some news, Mike Fleiss did tweet out Clayton and what was his name? Amy, the new host that we were talking about.
Jesse Palmer.
Jesse Palmer. He tweeted out pictures of the two of them recording their season. Yeah, it's canon.
Well then.
I should have probably brought that up when y'all asked if there's any news. But so Clayton is the new Bachelor. Like it is confirmed now. Yeah. And we knew this going into the season. Like it's just now an open secret or whatever posted now. So my thought going into the season, my main concern was, I want to see Michelle's love story. I don't want them editing the season around Clayton to give us a story as to why he's the next Bachelor. So yeah. That was my what I was afraid of coming into it. Now I feel like not only are they like just like Matt said, giving him a purple edit and we're not even seeing Clayton that much, almost probably so that he doesn't offend anybody and is okay to be the next Bachelor.
Exactly.
I also feel like we're not getting Michelle's love story really. So I'm just kind of like, then why are we here? But this was, like yeah. I said, one of my favorite episodes of the season. But why do you guys think we're not getting much Clayton? Because that was the question on everybody's mind after yeah. the end of this episode.
I have theories.
Okay.
I think maybe he's like coming down the pipe. I can't remember who said it a couple weeks ago on the podcast, but it's just that the first couple episodes are always like the fluff, the drama, and they kind of want Clayton to stay out of it. So he has a little bit of a more shiny reputation going into the back half of the season. Mari, I think your point, it's hard for me to think that the Bachelor producers would be that careful with protecting Michelle. Mm-hmm. But I can see them trying to protect Clayton. So I think those are all really good points that I didn't really think about, honestly.
Yeah, and I think with Clayton, I that's kind of what I picked up on with Clayton, and maybe just because in other shows, like in Survivor, I think what we often see is an edit that shows one story sometimes and like protects certain people but makes other people look bad, and then you have to think like, why is that? And then it turns out that person's like the winner or one of the finalists, and so I don't want to know why they couldn't include him more in this season. I would imagine that they would have wanted to include more from him. But it is really strange. And, you know, I think on top of all of it, for me, there's just this weird dynamic where I feel like in multiple episodes, Michelle has kind of hinted to the fact that, you know, obviously race, like being a black woman, race is like, is a thing in her life, but she's talked about that in so many powerful ways. And mm-hmm. like, to me, it would be strange if she didn't at the end up with a black man because of the things mm-hmm. that she's mm-hmm. said. And yep. so that's kind of where I see a disconnect, where I'm like, wait, so you're saying you want someone who like understands where you're coming from, but we're not seeing that from people like Clayton or like one of the Chris's or anything like that. And so that's where I'm like kind of scratching my head a little bit of like, how much are the producers influencing? Like, who are they saying, let's keep Clayton, we need to keep Clayton around? And who is Michelle actually choosing to keep around?
Oh, guys, I was watching this episode and I'm mm-hmm. like, Michelle is upset and yeah. she is reading the producers house yes. down boots. Like mm-hmm. she is, I really think this episode bore like her frustrations bubbled over. Mm. I'm thinking halfway with the producers and agreed. Then halfway with the men, because if I had to put money on it, I would think that they are these looking at these two dates specifically, I think she has not, they're not letting her do the one-on-ones that she wants to do. Mm. Working theory, you know, I think they're holding off the Joe one-on-one now, because until they go back home, like we clearly see that in the next time on.
Right.
I don't know why they won't give her the Nate one-on-one. And I have theories as to why they push the Rick one-on-one later on when we get to that. So I think she can't get. Oh, yes. Or Brandon. Yes. Very. Yeah. So she can't get the one-on-ones that she wants. So the only time she gets to see these guys are during the group dates and then they're not stepping up. So I think it's frustration from both the production side and the guy side. And I cannot wait to get into it with you guys, because I was like, Michelle, I'm with you. I'm fed up. Like, yeah. Let's go.
But I have a general question about that, because I get where she's coming from. Like, Mari's with her. But like, do the fans like Michelle, or are they frustrated with Michelle? Because I kind of feel like with the way that things are edited, that I could see like the Facebook commenters dragging mm-hmm. Michelle, like, why is she the Bachelorette? Get rid of her. Get rid of this season. And, you know, I just don't want that for her. I feel so bad for her because I could totally relate to where she's coming from, except for the whole producer thing. Mari, I think that was a solid point. But yeah, mm-hmm. Do people like not like Michelle based on this season? Because I think the producers have kind of done her dirty a little bit by not like fully explaining why she's upset and complaining and kind of broken up and really not fully communicating that to the audience in a clear way.
Yeah, so I've made it a point in my long podcasting career to never look at the comments because that I trust part. My judgment, not the people who are commenting on a Facebook thread, because I can only imagine those are the opinions I want to hear the most least. I love Michelle. I was really looking forward to a Michelle season. I do think that we're not getting as much sparkle as I know Michelle has, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Mm. Yeah. I mean, the lead tends to not get as much focus on their personality anyways. That's just kind of what the scoop is. I mean, look at Matt James, his Bachelor season. It's like he seemed like drying wallpaper. And then on his 2.5 weeks on Dancing with the Stars, he was so much fun. I think we're still not quite out of the quarantine format that has kind of taken some of the enjoyment out of Bachelor seasons. Like that atrium, like I'm so bored of that atrium. I'm so glad we're going to Minnesota. I think maybe part of it is Bachelor burnout too. Like we've had a lot of content back to back. And so I'm not sure what the scoop is.
To speak of Facebook comments, I agree. You try to avoid those, so it's hard to say. But because I'm in Minnesota, I saw on my feed like the local news, the newspaper. Anytime there's like a hometown hero, you know, it'll be like there's an article. So last week they had an article about how Michelle Young opens up about feeling like the token Black girl growing up in Minnesota. And mm-hmm. those comments were frightening. Yeah. Like just people on Facebook commenting without reading an article. And one of them was like, she's a fifth grade teacher. How does her school system deal with her near nudity on TV? And it's like just out of nowhere.
What? When was that?
Yeah. So yeah, Facebook be wild. But
and that just like proves so many of her points that she's talking about,
exactly.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I think it's just a general thing that we see in reality TV where like the editors haven't really caught up with a lot of the casting. So sometimes we still have these gaps where like they have had her explaining where she's coming from. But and maybe it's just the fact that racism and racists are out there. But yeah. Like it's not like I watched it like, ooh, I know that the Facebook comments are going to be horrible for this one.
Well, and I mean, that's the tough part too, right? Yeah. Because like, it's so necessary to have these conversations. And for so long, like 20 years, the Bachelor franchise has just completely ignored race when obviously it plays a factor into so many things. And I so appreciate that the Black men and women who have been able to come to the forefront of the last few seasons have been able to open up and tell their stories and hopefully, you know, change the minds of at least some of the people who are watching. Like they're probably not going to be the ones who are commenting on the Facebook posts in Minnesota, but I think there's got to be somebody whose mind's changed and is able to be like, I never thought of it like that before. Yeah. I didn't realize it. And I think having Michelle and having Matt James too is so groundbreaking and so, I mean, necessary. It's so overdue. It's just, I mean, if we're talking about a show with relationships, we need to talk about, you know, all the aspects of what a relationship with Michelle would be. And race is an aspect. And, you know, if she does end up with a white man, do they understand the implications of it? Or are they ready to go to bat for her? Are they willing to understand where she's coming from when she gets upset? Like, when she was talking about the incident in the grocery store, having somebody kind of just say, well, don't give them the power. Like, is she going to be able to have a partner who respects how she's feeling and is able to, if not be in her shoes, empathize with what she's going through?
Yeah. And that's kind of where, you know, with a lot of the guys, we haven't seen in any indication that they will be able to support her through that. And I don't
Matt,
even mean
you can
just
say it. There's a lot of dum dums here.
Well, no, it's not just the white. It's not just the white guys on the cast. I was just going to say, because I do think it's interesting that when we get the race related conversations, that it's like, OK, these are going to be like between two black people having this conversation. I want to know what Clayton has to say. That's right. What I want to know. I want to know what Clayton has to say about everything. I don't think that the producers want us to know, but that's a conspiracy theory. And maybe someone knows something that I don't. It's messy.
And real quick, I agree. I do agree with Haley. Like, you have to be exposed to this. You have to be exposed to these conversations in order to even be given the chance to grow from them. So I appreciate that. And, you know, you're going to have people who will grow and who will learn and who want to learn more. And you just won't have some people who won't. And that's fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what's going to happen. But, you know, we're not going to sit here and say everybody's not going to learn something. I think there will be people who are out there to learn something. I just do feel bad because I do think that this season is being affected by the burnout. I completely agree with that, Haley, like four back-to-back seasons. And it's so hard. And then on top of that, not only the burnout, but think about the last seasons that we've had. They've been some of the most like toxic when it comes to casting, in a sense. Like, well, not like, should I say, not the cast themselves, but how the journeys have played out, that the guys in this one, in this season, get along. And that's kind of the problem. It's funny how like that's the problem.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, BIP was a hot mess with everybody like already coming in with relationships. KD season, the guys were ganging up on one guy each and every week, down the line. And then Matt James's season, we had that catty group of girls that just kept the drama going, you know. And then even hop over to Claire Tayshia's season with the whole Claire Dale thing. We all knew what was coming, so we were waiting for the explosions and the drama. Like, this season has actually not been overly dramatic. So then now people are like, oh, well, this is boring. It's like, no, this should be what it is. It should be a love story. But then again, I feel like we're not getting that either. Like, because I think the producers are trying to find the drama. They're trying to find the interesting cast instead of, you know, giving it Michelle more time to breathe and to get to know Michelle and see who she's potentially liking. And because it wasn't until this episode that I was finally like, okay, I think I can pin down who I think will be in the final six, you know?
And so, do you think that has been done on purpose? Because it could feel like if we knew who her front runners were, it would feel very obvious and unnecessary to like watch the season in general. Because I do kind of feel like when she said like this isn't wrapped up, like I don't believe it's wrapped up, but I also don't believe that more than three of these guys have a chance.
Yeah. Right. And I guess also every time when I think of that question, I just come back to what Rachel said. I remember Rachel saying like she knew from basically day one that Brian was the one.
Yeah.
And that,
and other, you know, leads say they know there's four top three at least.
Exactly. So it always makes me think like, what are the producers doing to keep it interesting if they already know that the lead? I mean, again, look at Claire. She knew who she wanted. The only difference is she didn't play ball and she left with them. You know what I'm saying? So, I do think that that's why I think production is getting, it feels like they're getting heavier and heavier handed, as the seasons have been going along. And I don't know why, but it just feels like they're trying to, you guys called it last week. You're like, okay, our two villains left. So now we have to, you know, they're about to manufacture some drama. And guess what?
Right.
Guess what happened this week? You know? So I think,
yeah,
it's really sucks
that they you know, when she got rid of Jamie last week, it was really kind of sudden. You know, it was right during that conversation. They probably didn't have time to tell her, like, hey, just give him another chance. You know, let's see if this, because they would have wanted to keep those villains around, I would think. Probably Peter as well.
Yeah, that was a mess with Jamie last week, though. It like it, he started out so strong. Like, yes. I think even that episode, he started out pretty strong. And then it just like totally went downhill. And it all happened so fast. And, you know, actually, that's kind of how I feel about so many of the guys that we actually have gotten to know who went home. Like, who was it the first episode? Ryan, who was the guy with the binder full of not full of women, a singular woman binder full of women. And that was a choice, and it was it was just all very strange. This whole season's strange to me, though. The cool thing is that I'm kind of realizing, like, The Bachelorette is a lot more like pro wrestling than I realized. It's just a lot of drama and chaos and storylines, and this probably isn't even the best of it. Oh, you love wrestling?
Yeah, they love wrestling. Yeah.
Oh, well, no. Like, well, no, you should love wrestling because it's basically this.
Did we miss the chance last week because there was the dog fighting and I was like, oh, Mari, you know, Jay Ellis was on and maybe that was our chance. And it's like, no, back to back, we have, you know, perfect opportunity. So we didn't miss out because they'll always bring something back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So let's get into the first one-on-one. So we see Martin get that first one-on-one. How are you feeling about Martin?
Oh, I have him as a front runner, right? I had him as a front runner last week, and then the Jamie stuff went down, and then he started off that date really not great.
Very not good, eh?
Yeah. Not great at all. But I think he was able to like pull himself like out of it. So I do still have him in the top. Like I can see him making top six minimum. So do I like him as like a castmate, and do I like him for Michelle? It's now TBD. Like it really is. Like I think he had a good showing the first few episodes, but he did really drop in my eyes after that Jamie thing, because I completely agreed with Michelle. Like I think some people thought she was being overdramatic, but I'm like, I don't think so. Like she does not like her decisions to be questioned. And it very much did sound like you said she made the wrong decision at first. And, you know, but I love that she was able to bring it up to him. I love that he was like, you know what? That's Mobby. You know what I'm saying?
I also like that he was able to, I feel like it's so often on The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, the person who is not the lead will often go like, oh yeah, you're totally right. Yeah, I totally agree. No, you're right. I like that Martin was like, hey, I like the dude. You know what I mean? Like, I like that he like didn't challenge her, but did give his opinion and didn't really like go, I hated Jamie. He sucked.
I have no feelings either way toward Martin. He did a backflip the first episode, so that was like my one note on him. But you know, to me, I always, in these scenes where the guys will start talking about the other guys on the date with Michelle, I just feel uncomfortable. But this especially was strange because like, weren't they just sitting in the hot tub? And he's like, you know who I'm thinking about right now? Jamie.
We're not even sure if that hot tub was hot. It might have been a lukewarm tub.
A lukewarm pool.
The portable hot tub.
Just a large basin.
It was exactly. Yeah. And so that was like odd to me. By the way, Mari, just to like pull in the wrestling reference here, you know who Martin looks like.
Who? Oh, Scotty Too Hottie?
No. Well, yeah. But also, I was going to say Enzo Amore. Enzo Amore.
I erased him out of my memory.
Are like twins.
Oh,
no. I don't see it because I find No, I don't see this. They have some. No.
Because yes, some don't see it. Involved. Don't see it, Haley. Please.
I
want you to not be able to unsee it. Like, I hope you can't unsee it at this point. Look closely.
Different I find Martin to be very attractive. The thing was, though, he wore a plaid shirt with no sleeves, and then my intercourse drive just like tumbled off a mountain. I was like, you know, that's not for you, my dear. No.
The Canadian way. Okay. Wear flannel.
Him and Michelle have chemistry, though. So that's what that is. Yeah, they have a lot of chemistry together. And I feel like I can tell when Michelle likes people. I think she gets that very like whispery, deep, sultry voice going when she's like into the conversation. And throughout the episode, you could definitely, I feel like, tell who she's feeling and who she isn't. So I think Martin saved himself. See, he definitely saved himself here.
I still was caught off guard, though, kind of like you mentioned, Mari, that he was getting a one-on-one here, you know, like, Michelle's not getting the ones that she wants. It seemed like that maybe wouldn't have been her first choice for this week. But another reason, too, could be to kind of put like more of the front runner type guys, like more on edge, like feeling like, oh, like I didn't get the one I want again.
Have that conversation about Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking, Haley, to continue that conversation. But I'm pretty sure he's like at least like third or fourth on her list, so they're like, you can't get him, let's get him because you're still vibing with him, you're still feeling him, but also we can milk the drama. Best of both worlds.
They tend to like I don't know if it's happened recently, but in a lot of seasons they like to have someone get sent home on a one-on-one. So if you put these people that are kind of up in the air to have that drama, because then the guys are back at their hotel room at the suite watching that guy's suitcase get wheeled away, and then that can cause some like, oh, I thought they were doing good, and some of that drama.
We will talk about Rick later.
table boy Rick over there. Yeah. A lot of thoughts about him.
Would you like to drive a car real fast in circles?
This made me very anxious.
Me too.
For multiple reasons. One, because Michelle, she is such an insurance liability for this show.
That's what I was thinking.
They do all, what are they doing? They don't need to do this. Like, in pro wrestling, Mari and I, we're used to extreme, but we don't need that in The Bachelorette. Like, I didn't realize that this was the X Games or something like that. So this is overwhelming. And I you know what? That might be what was wrong with, like, how I viewed Martin. I associate Martin with, again, the Tokyo Drift thing. But for me, it's like, pump the brakes. Like, all of you, pump the brakes. Get out of the car. I don't know why you're in separate cars when you're on a date. I have a lot of questions.
That's a good point.
No answers. I have one. Mm-hmm. I'm exhausted. Get it?
No.
Okay, now I have to leave the podcast. Bye, guys.
Any more about that one-on-one?
I think we have to get to this group date.
The first part of the group date is my dream. It's getting stuffed animals. It's wearing soft jammies, eating popcorn, laying down.
Build a bear. Building a stuffed animal.
I love stuffed animals. I love snuggling. I love snacking. I love not sitting upright.
Have you ever been to a slumber party like this?
Thing.
Popcorn makers and an ice cream station.
Rich people sleepover. It seems like something that you'd see on Sweet 16 or something.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to tell you what I used to do at sleepovers, and that was wake ups first at 7 o'clock and leave immediately because I hated waiting around for everyone else to wake up.
No, I would do. Here's the thing. I also hated that, but what I would do is just lay there awake, okay, when's everyone going to get up? Because I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
I don't. I'm just not into sleepovers. I've told many people in my life that if we are in the Niagara region, I will not be sleeping at anyone's house but my own. I will sleep at a hotel, however. I just don't like sleeping at other people's houses anymore because, like, I like my space. And, like, Ethan wakes up so much later than me on weekends. And, like, I like to be able to get up and do things. Like, I don't want to, like, sit in the dark room and have my back hurt. Like, I just want to get up and move. And I just want to, like, my best friend, like, whenever I'd sleep at her house, I truly would wake up all the time and just sleep. And then she'd be, like, she'd still be asleep. And she'd text me later and be like, bye, talk to you later.
Oh. Not like, where did you go?
Okay. She knew that I was like getting up. She'd rather that I leave than disturb her sleep.
Wait, I have one more question. Did you, like, in your sleepover experiences, this is for all of you, have you ever done like those ab punches? Like, I saw Olu getting punched in his rock solid core.
What about me do you think like gives off the vibe that I A, have abs and B, would like to be punched by people?
I don't want to stereotype.
Go ahead, stereotype me, my darling. I'm soft of disposition and body.
Yeah, relatable, same. Let's go. So I haven't done the ab punch thing, but you know, maybe we want to try that sometime. He looks like he was having a great time.
That is weird. The results are still out, but that's kind of how Harry Houdini died. So let's not do that.
I was just going to say that because Ethan loves listening to Stuff You Should Know, the podcast, and then just reciting the whole podcast to me. And one of them recently was about Harry Houdini and how he probably already had like a stomach disease or an ulcer, and then like the punch didn't kill him, but it like didn't help the situation.
Yeah, like it ruptured something or something like that. I remember.
Or like something was already wrong, and because the punch, he didn't think to go get it checked out because he thought it was just the punch or something like that. Yeah,
and he didn't properly brace himself. Like the person like caught him unawares.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Do you want to change this into like a History Channel podcast or something?
I mean, at
this point, I would love that.
A magic podcast, maybe. I don't have much to contribute either way. So let's stick with the Bachelor.
Yeah, right. Me either.
But then Michelle's not having a great time. She feels like she has to keep calling the guys over. They're more into like the activities. They're more into talking to each other. Michelle, babe, like, sorry, don't plan such a great date next time with 12 girls.
Yeah, because at the same time, a lot of times we see on these group dates, like, you don't want to be the guy that's not participating or has a negative attitude, right? So sometimes you are looking for that, like, oh, they're really participating and having fun, but it was odd to not see anybody pull her away. But then it seems like later on in the episode, Chris S. is claiming that there were like a few guys that did, and we just weren't shown that. So was it the wrong guys doing it?
We saw Chris S. like playing Twister with her and then like trying to kiss her, which was weird. So we did see that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I completely agree with Michelle. First off, this is something that clearly like triggers something for her.
Yeah, it's an insecurity for her. Yeah.
Yes, so it's one of her insecurities, exactly, that she's already expressed to half of them. So they know this. But also, what are y'all doing? Like, what are you like legit doing? Like, why are you snuggled up with a teddy bear?
And bro, like, time.
Yeah, they were so excited.
All of those shots of her just by herself. And then she had to call Clayton over for the cotton candy. And it he wasn't like flirting. He wanted to get back to the pile. Like,
and then playing Duck Duck Goose.
Yeah, because if you also think of Matt's season, like those girls were like clawing over each other to get to make, like Michelle said, those special moments with Matt. Remember when Piper like ran in the middle of his interview and started making out with him on a group date? And Michelle was like the queen of that. That's why we love Michelle on Matt's season, because any time that she got with Matt was always so fun and cool. And you know, it's why she made it to like the final. She just made the final two, right? So like I don't blame her, because any other bachelorette, you're thinking like, oh, they all are pursuing me. And again, a lot of these last seasons have been so toxic that all of the men and all of the women are like backstabbing each other to get to the lead. And it's just like nobody, like they're so bro-y, they're so also laid back that they have great dispositions, which I love about them, but they do need to step up. I completely agree with Michelle here.
Do you remember?
And I think maybe it's a product of them being a little bit of a dum-dum too, is that I don't even think it occurred to them to like make the connection that them not chatting her up or whatever, like would directly connect with her feeling like she's not seen. Like you could see that when she expressed that to the guys, and I'm happy that she was able to, that they just were like, oh, like, shoot, sorry. Like, that's just not the intention. But it's just they don't realize that. I feel like some of these guys are a little younger and maybe not as emotionally mature to be able to pick up on those cues or even understand what the scoop is.
And even when they were doing the game, it was like, should we wait till Michelle gets back? Like, nah.
No
worries.
Yeah,
No, this was hard to watch, especially because of her poem from the previous episode. So we saw her talking about this and then they just ignored her. But like, it's tough too, because I do feel like they should have tried to spend more time with her. I think especially because this is clearly like not only something that, you know, they've seen people jump, allegedly, I'm taking your word for this. They've seen like guys, she's seen guys jumping over one another to get to the Bachelorette. And the same with the Bachelor, you know, the women doing that. And so I think what's so interesting here is that like, this is a trauma, like a deep trauma for her that's kind of being triggered with all of this. And, you know, there were a lot of activities, so I kind of want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, well, there was Twister and a popcorn maker and an ice cream machine and cotton candy and a foot spa and face mask. If you have your face mask on, you don't want to talk with Michelle. You're busy doing your facial. So like, that's, you know, that's kind of the thing.
And they all had to build a bear without really knowing why at that point. Right?
I didn't even realize that this was a build a bear workshop. Yeah. But there you go.
I have a quick question for everyone. Who had the best pajamas?
Oh yeah, I want to know.
And
that
why
too.
Was it Leroy?
I was just about to say, like, hands down, Leroy.
Mm-hmm. What was he wearing?
He was wearing these really cute, like, silk pajamas had like pink flowers on them. They were a set that I would genuinely want for
me. He knew it too. Like he felt it.
Yeah.
Who was wearing? Oh, was it Clayton? Clayton was wearing the robe, right?
Oh God, yeah, the really bad robe.
I like the flexibility of a robe. I didn't like what the Tom. Cruise, Chris S. I didn't like what he was wearing. Mm-hmm. Why did they dress him as Tom Cruise? That actually, like, that bothered me.
Because he's shorter than everyone.
Well, no, it bothered me. So they couldn't find a pair of pants. They said, we're going to have you slide in.
He's like Tom Cruise's height.
And made him do, like, the parody. I don't think he even knew what he was parodying.
Much time on the parody.
Yeah.
He probably didn't. We got, like, 30 seconds of it, which was too much.
And I think Clayton's robe was also like somebody had been giving it to him because he could not fit it. I like who said it looked like his mom's robe? It really did. Like it couldn't even close.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not fair. Like that's the thing. You can't make fun of a robe that he didn't purchase or bring. It was not his mom's robe. It was the producer's robe that they gave him. They know how tall, they know his exact measurements.
Yeah.
Are you surprised that two guys didn't get in a fight and throw each other's pajamas? Emma's in the pool.
I thought there was going to be another fight later, but we'll get there.
We did get some fighting though, and that's when we get the Bella twins, the most underedited celebrities in the Bachelor history.
Yeah,
Michelle was not excited to see them, but not because of them, but just the timing.
That was so funny to me. I was cracking up. She's like, the Bella twins are here, but also this means now they got to do this stupid activity and nobody gets to talk to me. And I love how I think somebody on Twitter was like, Michelle is the only lead to realize that watching people beat each other up isn't going to help her find a husband. We complain about these dates every freaking year and they still bring them. Like what does this help? This helps nothing.
Didn't she actually say at one point? Yeah, she's like, that's not what the point of these dates are. Like,
yeah,
this help me find love. So yeah, how being, you know, you guys must know much more about the Bella twins surely than Haley or I. So how could they have used them better? What did you think of their appearance here?
Yeah, well, the first first thing is, like, on the Wrestling Rehab Up, Mari knows that we like to say, that's wrestling. This is not wrestling. This was not wrestling at all. Like, I literally said to myself, let me look this up. Like, have the Bella Twins ever even, like, been in a pillow fight in the wrestling ring? Which, believe it or not, has been a thing in the past. I couldn't even find a pillow okay, not in disclaimer, not in 2021, but in 2011 probably. And they didn't do it. They weren't in any pillow fights. And so I kind of think to myself, like, they're not even the most relevant. Like, get some of the women in wrestling who have been in pillow fights, right, Mari?
Right. That's true. That's a great point. Like, the Bella Twins did not need to be here, but I'm glad they were here. I like them. They look great after having their babies one day apart.
Yeah,
oh my gosh. I'm a fan. The Bella Twins have done a lot for wrestling. We say this on our podcast all the time. People don't like to hear it, but they really did. They brought in a lot of women to wrestling over the last, like, 6 or 7 years, something like that. So I love seeing them here. And they have a good working relationship with ABC because Nikki was on Dancing with the Stars and is currently a fiance. And
her husband on Dancing
with the Stars. Yeah. I couldn't remember if they were married or not.
I don't know. I just
was that her partner on the show?
Dating to marriage.
Yep, that was her.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But she was with John Cena at the time. They didn't get together until later. There's some scandal that maybe they're hooking up during, but I don't think they actually were.
Look at that. Look at that. Look at that wrestling knowledge. Ooh, wrestling. Tap people out.
I love hot gossip. I don't care what stream it comes from. And so, yes, I know all about the Nikki Bella and John Cena relationship, how he never wanted to get married, but she really wanted to get married and have kids, but they were going to get married. And then they broke up like 3 days before the wedding. And then they got back together and then they broke up again for good. And then she was engaged and pregnant like within 75 months. And then John Cena was like, great, let her live her life. And then maybe he has a girlfriend now. I can't remember. Maybe he's married now.
I think he has like a fiance now.
Anyway, but here's the thing, like, back to the Bella Twins, I would say that they were definitely underutilized here. Like, this is the lowest common denominator. It's like, I just picture a producer, like, get us some of those wrestling girls. Ooh, Nikki, she did that wrestling thing, right? Get her in there. Like, they do so much in their careers, and I couldn't list it all out, but there are products that they sell of different types, and they do a lot. Like, have them do that, not come in and do pillow fights, because they're not even like actively. I mean, especially wrestling. When they were pregnant, like they're not actively wrestlers with WWE. So I thought it was interesting that they said we're WWE superstars.
When I did too. I was like, former, but they're technically not retired, even though they are in the Hall of Fame.
They're retired enough.
Yeah, they're probably on like a Legends contract, so they'll probably come back like periodically. But yeah, it was nice to see them. They just sat there and named the winners.
Yeah,
but it was cute.
That's sad. They could have had more lines.
Yeah,
I don't know what they would have said. They would have. They probably did have them record stuff like make a wrestling pun, and I don't even want to. I can't wait to see which of these guys that Michelle wrestles with later. Like, I'm sure that was recorded. God. Like, I'm positive. I'm positive. And then they made the good choice to cut that out. Don't say I didn't tell you, but it's going to be on the cutting room floor. It has to be there.
I'm surprised we didn't get it in like the end cap.
Instead of the driving around.
They did a good job though with the little time they had. We did see a little bit less of them than we did of Clayton. But
were you impressed?
I shouldn't single him out. There are some other. I feel like other people who are like creeping around there. Where I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize you were still there.
Yeah, but they weren't named the next best
player. Yeah,
so that's why I think we're all like, what is going on with this guy?
Yeah.
But were you impressed with any teddy bear fighting skills, even if it's not typical wrestling? Like, who had the moves?
I will say, I was not impressed by any teddy bear fighting skills. It's so bizarre. Like, it all happened so fast, too. So, like, we didn't get a lot of the Bella twins, but the segment also felt really short. They did hype up Olu at the end, but, yeah. Like, I mean, it was just a fight with the Build-A-Bear. So,
yeah. I was going to say... Sorry, didn't stand up. Nate, who did Nate go up against? He went up against Will. Will pummeled him. That was hilarious.
But like, Nate's little confessional of like, of course our team's gonna win.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right,
Brandon's after? 13. This person like has no muscle, and then he gets beat immediately.
He just got destroyed. I thought that was hilarious. I did like that. Matt correctly pointed out when Olu took his shirt off. Audible gasp everywhere except for Michelle. Michelle was not into it at all. Aww. Like the challenge itself.
Yeah.
So I think it was mercifully short. I really do. And it was kind of hard to see who would keep up with who was on which teams, you know? Why are we here? I'm with Michelle. Why are we doing this? I think we could have, it would have been cooler to continue with that sleepover date. So that hopefully that she could have gotten more time with the guys in a way.
They didn't actually sleep over, did they?
No.
Well, that's one problem. But the other thing I'd say is like back to Mari's point. That's the thing. It was so hard to keep up with the teams. Mm-hmm. And like I kind of wish small detail, but that they would have done it like tournament style. The guys who won would advance to the whatever they won out of it. That's the thing I would say. But yeah, it's strange that they. Here's what I would say: this is an individual game or a game. This is an individual, but yeah, it's a game. This is an individual game. So why have them on teams? And then Michelle's upset that they're all bonding, but it's like there's not enough that's happening to pit them against each other. I guess that they hate each other. Like I feel like there must be some flaw in how the season's put together that they're actually bonding. Plus, like on top of everything else, like with COVID, they're probably just happy to like see people and be with people and hang out. And I don't know when this is filmed, but like I even know now if this was filmed that people would probably be pretty thrilled to be around people. So right. I can't blame them for being such bros. It does feel weird to me, but I'll let it slide.
I think their living situation too, like they normally they'd be in a house all together, not getting sleep because they have to share like bunk beds in the mansion. And because they're in hotels and resorts now, they have a roommate, but you know, they get that more of that privacy. And I think, but then they have all this downtime where they are kind of forced to just sit together, probably in that atrium and these like conference rooms. So they probably are just forced to be like, you know, they're just gonna be like, okay, like finally I get to hang out with someone, and it's just, you know, they've gotten enough sleep maybe, and they don't have that tension of like, oh, I have to live with all of you and share a bathroom. It's funny,
Amy. It's funny because I was gonna make a joke that, oh yeah, they probably share bunk beds, but they actually, wow, okay,
they used to, still in paradise, they absolutely.
They would if they had them, I'm sure.
Yeah,
just a couple of hotel beds, and you're good to go.
And I know we have to move on because this date did not warrant all of this, but I think it was hilarious how when they won, nobody hugged Michelle again.
Oh, like, so tough. Yeah. So tough.
Mm-hmm. And the losers even too. More. Like it didn't look like the losers even like said like, oh, like I wish she could stay, like hugging her goodbye. No.
Nobody. She was just standing there by herself while the confetti came down. So I'm like, I agree with everything Michelle is saying here.
She needs to get one of those hourglasses that they have on Survivor and just smash it and recast the whole season. Just switch it all up. Like, go back in time, because I don't think that these guys are good enough for Michelle. She deserves better. And I'm just going to put it out there that I don't see her soulmate here, especially in the moments when she is like where you could actually feel the trauma that is there from like her past experiences. It's like this isn't fun. It's not fun to watch because it's not funny. Like sometimes it's funny to see people cry on reality TV, right? But this isn't funny. It's just sad and painful and awkward.
Yeah. And we had a sort of similar situation. Mm-hmm. A couple, Mari and Haley, do you remember in Claire's season when she got mad at the guys for not stepping up? But I feel like it was such a quick reaction on her part. It was like nobody just getting up to like pull her away first. And she was just like, called them out in the moment right away. Whereas Michelle, throughout the whole date, was like, there were these opportunities where you're like, isn't anyone going to even notice that she's not with them?
Yeah. And I think that's like two very different personality types, where I feel like Claire is very reactive and she was always going to react, where Michelle's going to like think on it, almost collect her data and then present it to the guys and be like,
yeah,
listen, this and this. Yeah, you know what? Michelle has a point here. Gosh, she really, really does.
And then the cocktail party after was so painful when she brought it up. She was like, I'm not saying you have to do these huge gestures. I just want a hello during the date.
Yeah, just maybe like come talk to me, which is the purpose of the show.
That's sad. But she has to ask them to say hello to her is really sad. And it was before that moment where she talked with the group, where she again referenced the poetry event and her experiences, like being the token Black girl and being the only person of color, being so overlooked. And like for me, like where I grew up, I could totally relate to this, where it's just so interesting that like, you know, I think that, you know, part of what you're saying about her sitting back and just kind of taking things in is interesting. I think part of it, too, is that like if she were to go up to people and, you know, ask for their attention or encourage it, like I think that would, I'm sure she could get their attention that way. But that's not what it's about. They should be like paying attention to her, and they should be engaging with her and talking with her. And, you know, you could see that a lot of it. It is sad to kind of see her go back to that place where she's like thinking about when she grew up and the things that she had to deal with growing up. Is there always this much trauma in Bachelor and Bachelorette seasons?
Oh, yes.
Wow. Oh, my God. We had to hear about Matt James's father like 80 million times throughout that
season. And then they brought his father.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's
like, what happened to his father? Oh, okay. Yeah. No.
That's another time, but like,
yeah.
So during the cocktail party afterwards, when the winners sat with Michelle, she before she talked to them, she talked to Caitlin and told Caitlin how she was feeling, which was a choice. I'm like, where's Tayshia? But apparently she might have been running a marathon.
It seemed like they switched roles this week, because I thought, okay, maybe they're always going to have Tayshia be like the confidant and Caitlin's going to be talking to the guys. But this time it was like Tayshia brought the date card. So it just seems like they don't quite know, like, oh, do we just do like it's your turn, and how they're like defining these roles. But
I still like, I really appreciate that we have those two women as our hosts, because I think, you know, as much as maybe it didn't feel like the right person to talk to her, it's definitely a better person to talk to her than Chris Harrison.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it still felt like friends being like, hey, I know that you're a little off right now. What's up? Like, I can tell that.
Yes, and they did a great job of being able to read her, and I think really walk her through that date, keeping her, you know, her head in it. But I love this conversation with her and Caitlin, and then she talked about what Matt said, being the only person of color and all of that, and dating was just never a main priority because she felt like she wasn't ever chosen. So she talks to the guy, she expresses her feelings, and like you said, Haley, like they just sat there like they're like, oh my God, okay. And she pulls Nate first.
Yeah.
And when she pulls Nate first, this is the first of twice this episode where I was like, Nate, you are slipping, dog. very much so. So she pulls Nate. She tells him, like, I'm basically more mad at you because you were not making an effort. And he just does the whole, I'm sorry, you know, I'll definitely make an effort. And it's, yeah. And I'm just like, okay, like you're saying it. I still think he's still wrapping his head around it. And I truly do think Nate likes Michelle, but let's be real. Look at that man. He's never had to fight for any woman.
He's so good looking. I don't want him to leave because I just enjoy looking at his nice face.
Exactly. So he's not. So that's why, like, when the date card came before the group dating, he's like, oh, you know, I'm chilling. He's always had that confidence about his connection with Michelle. And that's what, up until this episode, I liked about him. I'm like, thank you. Yeah. Finally, somebody who's like, I know what I have in my lead. Like, I don't have to worry. I'm not stressing. I'm not bringing up other people in my conversations. I love that about him. But now it's just like, okay, you are too laid back for her. Michelle is going to need somebody who is going to give her reassurance. And Michelle is, and it is okay. Like, newsflash, it is okay for a woman to say, I need reassurance. I need constant reassurance, because that's her love language. Her love language is words of affirmation. So that's what she wants. And she has every right to ask for it. And he is not doing it, because he's probably never had to do it in his life. I don't want to make assumptions, but that man is gorgeous. He does.
He's from Winnipeg. He's got to be the best looking guy to ever come out of Winnipeg.
Right. Ooh. So he's not used to fighting for a woman. So he needs to really process her words, because not, he's gonna slip. Mm-hmm. And that's why when Olu comes in, I mean, talk about, like, he had me crying.
Me too.
Like,
I know.
So I was crying, because he gets it. You could see from the moment she said it, he got it. And he said he has four sisters, and he wants to be the strong man for them, and he's constantly telling them that they are beautiful and everything. So you know that he understands exactly where Michelle was coming from. And yeah, he was taking punches to the stomach during the date, but I know for a fact that conversation left an imprint on him, and I thought he did a great job explaining it to Michelle and saying, like, the guys too.
I think when she pulled Nate, he was the one talking to the rest of the guys, like, trying to, like, no, this is, like,
exactly,
yeah, this is a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm so happy for him when he got the group date rose there.
I love this. And I loved, I thought it was so interesting that they had that dynamic where we see Nate, who literally, I think it's Michelle basically saying, like, I didn't feel seen. And he's like, you are seen, which is, like, never the thing to tell. That's not validating someone's feelings. Yeah. But, you know, I go back to the first episode, which I just watched two and a half days ago. And, you know, like, one thing that I picked up on with Nate in his intro was that he was really, really focused on how amazing that Michelle looked. And to me, like, that was kind of a red flag. But then this is also a red flag where, I mean, I just, like, this isn't a good look for someone who's going to be selected at the end. I just feel like Nate's slipping up, but he's not even slipping up. He's just not, like, the most empathetic person, and that's okay. Not everyone needs to be, because you have Olu, who is a superstar. And by the way, I will say, shout out to Olu, who is from, like, 15 minutes from where I grew up. So he's my hometown boy, my winner pick right now. I have to root for him.
So do you think there is validity to what Chris S was saying, that Nate does kind of feel like he has it wrapped up?
Yeah, I think so. Uh-huh. I think that I just thought it was very interesting that, I mean, Mari already kind of was, I think, pointing to that. But I would also just say that, like, it's not a good look to get angry about this. Like, this is not a thing to get angry about. Like, why would you be? To me, there seemed to be a lot of insecurity from the guys who were kind of speaking up at first, but then I just sort of felt like all of the guys, like, Olu was even really upset. And, like, why are you, like, you're secure in your relationship with her, right? But I did find that, like, the guys who were the most vocal to me seemed to just be the most insecure about the situation. Like, why does it matter what Chris S says about you when you know your relationship with Michelle? To me, that's, like, it's just not worth the energy of, like, arguing with him or saying something or being angry unless you're being defensive and trying to cover up. And then there were some guys who were just quiet during it. And, well, maybe they weren't quiet during it, but we didn't see anything from them. And I don't know. To me, that's telling. Like, I noticed that Nate was saying a lot and really, obviously, really upset, but I think that made sense because he was, like, literally called out specifically. Mm-hmm. But, like, Chris G, Clayton, Romeo, they all had something to say, and I don't have great things to say about them because I kind of feel like it's true. Like I don't know how into her they are. And I mean, mm-hmm. they got called out.
I don't know. I don't necessarily agree. I don't think Nate thought he had it in the bag. I think if anybody thought they had it in the bag, it was Jamie. And he went home last week. I think
totally.
He was the one who thought he had it wrapped up, sewed up. We're on a flight. I think Nate is just, again, he's so confident in like his ability to attract women that he was just mm-hmm. unbothered. And he said time and time again, in multiple episodes, he does not want to spend his time talking about another man, which again, I love when it comes, yes. when we're talking about the Bachelor franchise, because they're just, I mean, last season, Katie's season irks the crap out of me because all they did was talk about other dudes in their one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily think Nate is overconfident. I think he's perfectly confident because him and Michelle do have a very strong spark and a very strong chemistry. Now he just needs to step up mm-hmm. and show her how he feels because he is slipping in that regard. Because again, he is just not used to going above and beyond, or it doesn't seem like he's used to going above and beyond for a woman. Yeah. And, you know, we will definitely, we'll talk about like the Chris stuff
but
later.
But Maya, yeah. you want to get to the Rick date, right?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes.
I was going to say just on Nate that to me, it seemed like I read that as insecurity and not confidence. But maybe it's just me. Like I see a lot of insecurity with a lot of these different guys, but with Nate, like there's an exterior that's very confident, but I think there's a lot of insecurity underneath. He seems like a nice guy, but that's just kind of what I was reading.
Just like on our regular podcast, I disagree with you.
Oh my gosh. No, look, we're going to get next episode. Mark my words. He will talk about his insecurities. It's going to be great. We're all going to cry and have a good time.
Perfect. All right. Well, yeah, as we mentioned, Olu gets the group date rose. I was really excited to see Olu kind of, we got to know him this episode. He was kind of invisible before this, and so that he's sticking around. But Rick, he tells us that he got a group date, or he got a one-on-one date card that says sky's the limit. We didn't actually see him get that card, but they have a cable car date. Did anyone catch where this was? It was just like a nature-y area, but I didn't see where.
It was like a mountain.
Yeah.
But
I gotta say, this at this point in the episode was when I was getting a little restless, and I turned the TV off at 9:20 and went to bed. So this is about the point I turned the TV off, and then finished the episode today.
Oh, I was like, you didn't watch it?
Can you imagine if I just had the audacity to show up here not watching the last 40 minutes?
You're like, we don't need to see Rick.
Yeah.
So, Mar, you have thoughts on Rick? I would love to hear them.
Yeah. So as soon as they announced this date, I was like, oh, it is the getting cut on a one-on-one date. Like, this is it. This is the producer manufactured. We're getting cut on a one-on-one date and roll out the suitcase all dramatically. I was like, okay, cool. I'm here for it. Then we get to the date, right? And again, Michelle is not enthused about this date, guys. Going into this date, she's not enthused. She's like, yeah, you know, it's been a rough week, but you know, I'm glad that Chris was chosen to be on this date. Not by me. Rick was chosen to be
seen
on this
by
date.
Him.
Not,
yeah,
exactly. So they're in this gondola. It's just, it's like, there's no chemistry for me between the two of them. I think they're like cordial, but there's really no chemistry. Then we get to this weird wish box thing. What is this?
Where the producers obviously wrote every single wish in that thing. Oh my god.
Why would this be a real thing? Why would it be a real thing that you put your wish in a box, you have strangers read it, and then you put more wishes? I thought the whole thing about a wish is so it's not supposed to be read, so then it'd be granted. And it was just so weird because we got all these things about soulmate this, soulmate that, which makes sense, whatever. And then we get the one where it's like, I wish my father could see the man I've become. And then we get this slight reveal from Rick. You know, my father passed away 3 years ago, so I understand this note. And then Michelle kept prompting him throughout the day, like, oh, we got to, you know, discuss more. And they even write the wishes, their wishes like, to fall in love by having the hard conversations. Yeah. I'm like, okay, like guys. Right. And so they put it in there. They go, they finish off their hike, and then they go to their dinner. I'm just recapping this, and then we, you know, we'll talk about
I'd
it.
I'd rather but fall like, in love with no hard conversation. One easy conversation.
So yeah. We get to this dinner, right? And so she's like, yeah, I really want you to open up to me. And this was the moment where I was like, okay, the producers clearly told her, we want you to go on this one-on-one with him because he has something to tell you, you know, mm-hmm. And you know, I don't think she knew, but I think they were like, yeah, I think this is, you know, it'll be great to put him on the one-on-one. So she's like, yeah, let's so open up to me more, Rick. He drops bomb after bomb after bomb. I feel so bad for him. He just talks about how his parents split up. I think he said when he was 17. I thought I caught that age. He said he saw his dad's phone. It had a woman, like a woman had texted him. And then after, like, I guess a few days, he made the decision to tell his mom. And it was like 2 weeks before Christmas. Then on the day after Christmas, his mom told him like his brother's at their grandma's house, they're leaving, and that their parents are getting a divorce. And so his parents got a divorce, and he says his dad blamed him for it, and that he felt like that whole time for like the last 10 years of his dad's life that he was the reason that they got a divorce. And then I think he said 3 years ago he had talked to his dad, and his dad was basically saying he couldn't breathe. And then like a neighbor or somebody checked on him after not hearing from him for a day, and they found him like dead. And he said he feels bad because he knows his father died, like while also blaming him for the divorce, which is bad parenting.
Horrific. That's beyond horrific. And like, as much as I sympathize with depression, and if you are struggling, please reach out to somebody. Right. But to blame your son for
how rude
for you, for breaking up your marriage when you cheated on your wife is something. Yeah,
but Michelle's face, y'all. Yeah. Michelle's face. She's like, wow.
She was like, I'm glad I did this date because like the cameras are probably zooming in really close on him, on them. Like, no, this was wild. And it is sad that Rick seems to still blame himself for this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was like very heavy handed to get to this point. Which was like the rough part of watching this. Like, ooh, like we started. Okay, like just picture where I am. Like 3 days ago, I was thinking of
Happy, Table Boy Rick. Didn't know anything about The Bachelor.
Table Boy Rick in the like head only. Then he comes out of the table finally, and it's like, wow, look at him. And then you know, we go on. I'm kind of weirded out by him a little bit on the lip, and then they decide to do this really extreme date sitting on this really extreme tree with this extreme wish box, and then it gets really emotional, and I don't, this is like, I wasn't ready for this much like depth in The Bachelorette. I swear I wasn't, but everyone has a story, which is really interesting, and like outside of the actual show and what we're watching, I almost wonder, like, thinking about the casting of it, like, who's here for their, like, who's really cast for their story and still around for their story, and who is potentially a love interest of Michelle? I kind of feel like they were light on the actual potential love interest for Michelle. And I mean, I don't know, maybe that's why she was crying. But again, we have theories.
Right.
But yeah, this was a lot to watch with Rick and sad. And then it was a weird way to come out of it, to have this performance by Andy Grammer.
Haley's at least favorite. It's somebody I've heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't recognize him at first until they
sure
said
did not either. No.
Right. Yeah. I think they might have thought we would, because they didn't put on like the Caroline King or whoever that was a couple episodes ago under the name immediately. So, yeah, that was, look, hey, if they had fun, good for them is all I have, because that was a very awkward scenario to be in. Andy Grammer staring at you as you make out on the dance floor.
One thing I have to commend Rick for is that he had that phrase that we always hear where it's like, it's the perfect setting for Michelle and I. And he did not say to fall in love. He said, it's a perfect setting for Michelle and I to connect further. So I was like, okay, that is logical. I like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think Michelle was also like, well, I cannot not give him a rose after that story.
Yeah.
So sure. Let's go. And can I just point out, I feel like Rick is Greg Light. Like he has that same hair, the facial, like he has the charisma, but he's
puppy believable. Dog eyes.
I believe him. I'm like, I like Rick. Can we swap out Rick and Clayton? Like,
oh, totally.
I really like him. And of course, this episode was supposed to make me like him after hearing his story, clearly. This date was a mess. It was just a mess to me because I really felt like there was no chemistry, there was no spark, but he definitely is staying after that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, was this episode meant to make you like him? Because like I will add in the disclaimer as like someone who's lost my dad, like I have my heart goes out to him, but at the same time, like I don't know if I didn't feel like Rick came off as more likable through this episode. I felt for him more, but I didn't pick up on the likability thing through this episode. I think I liked him a little bit less for other reasons, like through this episode, actually. Maybe it's just me.
I thought I liked him more, but I wasn't really into him at all before, so
exactly.
It was kind of a low bar.
I liked him a lot before, so maybe that's the difference.
Yeah, I wonder. It makes me think about like producers. I feel like there's so many other guys that the audience would be clamoring for to be like. There's always different like factions. Like, I want this. I'm rooting for this guy to be the next Bachelor. I'm rooting for this guy, but I don't know that anyone would be coming for, like, taking it up for Clayton right now. And I feel like they almost were just like, let's pick him before anyone has a chance to, like, sort of, like, put this, like, groundswell behind anyone else. Like, because it's just, like, this is our typical Bachelor that we like to have, going back old school. So, but let's get back into this cocktail party where we have a new villain emerge, Chris S. Who?
Oh God, y'all!
Takes this is the floor. So strange.
Really weird. I mean, the guys could not believe it either. So that'll tell you something.
Is this like big moves era of the Bachelorette? Because that's what I was getting from Chris S.
This was like. Chris S heard like, oh, I want you guys to try more. I feel unseen. He's like, okay, turn up the toxic watch masculinity. This. Got it. It's like, what? Sir, huh?
Michelle, shut up. I have something to say.
I have to explain your point to these guys.
Yeah.
That. Haley, what was that?
Oh, it was a lot.
I think I had the biggest eye roll when he was saying all that and then had the nerve to say to Michelle, like, I feel like you should spend more time with the guys who are like, he was directing her saying that she wasn't talking to the right guys. And normally that would like be licensed to send that guy home on the spot. Like, how dare you criticize like what I'm doing? Like, I'm connecting with who I'm connecting with. I already had this conversation.
The thing that made me want to send him home the most was when she was like, or whoever it was, Brandon was like, hey, can I talk to you, Michelle? And she's like, yeah, of course. And he's like, no, I'm talking to Michelle first. And Michelle was like, no, Brandon asked me first. So
yeah, she said that. I heard her say that.
But and then she went off with him.
Right.
Yep. Producer job. Michelle looked like she was going to punch somebody in the face when that happened. Like, and then after he told her, like, oh, you know, there are guys here who think they have it in the bag, and he dropped Nate's name and all that. And this is where we were kind of talking about a little bit, but Chris S, you know, said that there are guys here who think that they have it in the bag, and he had told her that she should maybe talk to other guys. It's like, dude, come on. And he throws out Nate's name, rephrases that whole conversation that they had. I really feel like he just completely repackaged it. Like, oh, if it's not now, you know, I'll get my one-on-one, you know, it's whatever.
And that's one-on-one. It's not saying he has it in the bag to be the one at the end. You know, exactly. That's a totally different context.
And then Michelle's face when he, like, I think he tried to go in for a kiss. She gave him like cheek, barely half church hugged him. I was like, oh, she is mad at him. But he stayed. And I think we all know why.
That, my friends, is a classic producer, Rose. They're like, no, you sent home Peter last week. You're keeping him this week.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, you know, Matt touched on a little bit later, but she then goes and pulled Nate. And this is the second time where I'm like, this is where he really dropped the ball. I mean, just completely dropped the ball and fell back like a few places where she's like, she explained to him what Chris just said. And he's like, he said something like, I can't, he said that and I can't do anything but what he said, but like, he was like, I don't really want to talk about Chris here, but she's like, but do you understand how that makes us sound? And then he like basically didn't defend himself. I'm like, Nate, defend yourself. Yeah. 'Cause that's not even what not what you said or even how it sounded, but he didn't defend himself. He basically was like, Chris is just stirring the pot. And he did such a bad job of reassuring her that, unless we miss something, like unless they cut their conversation, I don't think that ended well for him. And I think he's just
second to last called as well in the rose ceremony.
Yes. Thank you. And I think he was just so mad at hearing Chris at that point, like hearing it, that like hearing what he had said to her, that he was already in his mind confronting Chris instead of, you know, comforting Michelle. And so when he goes to confront Chris, it was just like, that was the dumbest argument. He was trying to tell Chris, like, why did you say my name and nobody else's? And then Chris said, gives the microaggression of the season, is like, are you gonna put your hands on me, dude?
And why are you getting so aggressive? And like, Nate was not raising his voice. He was not like, that was not cool on Chris. It was very much not okay.
I will say
a preview thing too. In every preview.
I got very nervous for all involved, especially for Nate. Is like, coming from the wrestling context, you have Nate. He's leaning against the rail, standing there, and it reminded me of the Royal Rumble where I swore that Chris was gonna like run up and clothesline him over the balcony, and I did not want that to happen. Really, it was getting close. I did really. Yes, Mari, I was really concerned, and that's what I thought was gonna happen.
Oh my
god! It was close. There was some physical contact, and no one to catch him on the, you know, after the fall. So I'm glad that nothing happened, but I was a little bit concerned in the moment. Yes, I was, so Mari.
There are some perils to being 6'8". So that's good to know.
I guess that's part. Yeah, you can. I'll say, as someone who's like 6'2", you know, I could trip and fall on a bad day and just stumble. So yeah, maybe being a little shorter would help him, but that did make me nervous. Just don't stand by the railing, dude. Just, especially not in a fight. Please.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other guys, you know, you'd mentioned before, Matt, the other guys like Chris G and these ones who are kind of seem to be in the background as well, getting so upset at him. I think they could see the move he was playing. Like, I'm going to get the airtime. I'm going to get like that producer Rose. And he did take a spot from one of them. You know, you would think that Romeo or Chris G or, you know, some of these, those were who left. And, you know, we've seen more of some of them than we saw Chris S this whole time. You know, you'd think if they had some kind of connection, we'd have seen even him speak earlier than this episode. So
I was thrown off by Chris S. Like, I thought Chris S would have been gone the first episode because he's the one who came off the school bus and made that, like, comment.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
How darest you remind me of that?
I mean,
how could you make me relive that?
Well, Michelle was also, I didn't think he was going home after that because Michelle was like, ooh, smooth. I like that. Kind of, except he's in detention. And it got weird. It
seemed like she was really,
by the way, I just want to say, while I'm on this podcast, I'm so glad that there haven't been more awkward, uncomfortable, like, teacher student role playing. I am very, very thankful for that, honestly.
Yeah.
Chris and his white horse comment, I was like, you've got, like, do you not hear yourself? Like you.
Oh, and when he was saying about Olu too, like, oh, I'm gonna like say this is for you. He didn't do any of that. So
I was like, do it.
They invested in the wrong villain. Like these producers were probably like hoping he did that, and yeah, he chickened out on that. So, all right, I think I'm ready to get into these draft results.
That makes audience one of us.
Questions. I know. Asia, the wonderful Asia Welch, is way ahead, pulled ahead. She has Rick on her team. Matt, if you haven't picked up from podcast so far, Haley and I tend to not do really well in our drafts. So.
Yeah, and I wasn't going to say anything about that. I mean, you do, like, you're not, I mean,
if
you're,
you
in the top
win a draft,
three,
you're in the top three. Your name in for a potential, future. We're always looking for people to join us on the draft. So
sure, I'd love to do the draft because I feel good about the people that I picked from the first episode. So nice. I'm in already.
All right,
but yeah, you're doing a pretty good job.
Right, we're in the top three. Asia has 80 points, led by a strong one-on-one from Rick this week. I have 60, hurt by no one-on-one dates this week, and Haley has 57. So Haley, you and I are fighting for second place here. You had the one-on-one with Martin on your team, and at least I didn't lose anybody this week. But who do I have left? I have Joe. Oh, I want to talk about Joe and the M&Ms, because did you guys hear M&M? Like she said, she had never had these before when he brought like peanut M&Ms out, or was it like?
I was shocked. M&Ms. I was like, what do you mean? These are the best.
No,
they're horrible.
Yeah. And he did
a
great
job.
Did you just
say horrible?
Yeah, I'm allergic, so I have that.
Yeah.
I thought it's maybe.
That's fair. I'll give you that.
I thought maybe it was pretzel M&Ms. I could see they kind of look the same. Okay. Maybe I could see not having those before.
Well, so those do you guys get points because like Joe had the really awesome M&M date? They showed Rodney doing the handshake, and then Brandon really came on strong this episode. Good for him because he got that first rose. Do you guys get points for like that, like the individual scenes during the cocktail party?
We talked about having mini dates. Usually we just stick that at the first episode. Yeah,
gotcha.
But we can discuss that with at George CTV, who always compiles this.
Yeah, love George
us.
C.
Yes,
shout out to George C.
It's an awesome job.
I gave a shout out to George C.
And we also have questions from the audience, so let's get into those. I think this is actually from the aforementioned George
They have questions about wrestling for Mari specifically. I just want to call it out.
So what I do usually is forget to put the thread up until about 3 p.m and do I usually mention that we have a guest? No, not really.
Just to surprise everyone.
Yeah. I'm looking and the people are fired up though.
So. Well, let's start with George's question. He says, I wonder why we never see the dreaded 2-on-1 date anymore, where they'd put two rivals on the same date. I don't think we've seen that since Peter's season in February 2020 had one between McKenna and Tammy, but I think that's the only one since 2017. Who from this group of guys would you expect to see going on a 2-on-1 to battle it out?
Wasn't it like that was not even a real
It wasn't the McKenna one, the
that was like a pre-cocktail party. They did that with Bennett and Noah too, where it's like that fake
and then they did it Matt James's season too
I can't even remember.
So Matt,
I'm glad they don't do those. They're manufactured completely.
Yeah, in the past they would do like 2-on-1 and you'd usually only one person can survive the date, and then they'd strand the other person like on a mountain or something and fly away in a helicopter. So they doing the dramatic scenes.
Wow. Yeah. Is there a chance that they'll do that next episode? I just like with how manufactured things are, I almost feel like we're going to if we did get one of these, it would be like Nate and Chris. In the next episode.
Because, but I think she likes Nate too much for him to be sacrificed to the 2-on-1.
Chris would be gone.
Chris is a perfect Olu, person maybe? For 2-on-1, but like maybe Olu. Chris and Olu would be a good one.
It's always kind of two people that maybe haven't gotten as much screen time, and that they could see either one maybe going. Speaking of Chris,
or maybe like Rick and Rodney would be nice, because, like,
yeah,
you know, Rodney has the apple thing going for him and Rick has the table, so there's like some synergy there.
Pairing there. That would cause drama too, because they both had their one-on-ones already, so it's like, what, they're getting another date?
Hey, it works.
All right, put Matt on the producing team. Asia, she wants to know, name one reason that Chris S. was given a rose.
Drama, producers. Asia, that's it, that's all. That's it, that's what the rose is for, drama.
I think, I mean, one reason he played ball when it came to their Tom Cruise. What's that? I don't even care what that movie is called.
Risky Busy?
Risky Business. Yeah. Risky. Did you say Risky Busy?
Yeah.
Yes. Risky Busy. Yeah. I think with that, they're like, look, if you do this, you're staying tonight.
Yes.
Only explanation.
Randy Canupo, this is kind of what we already discussed, but he says, I'm confused. Do we like Rick? Okay, so let's go across the board. Haley, do you like Rick?
He gives me weird vibes.
Okay. Mari, you said you were on board.
I agree. I like him now. Okay. Sure.
That's where I'm at, too. I like him now. I still get the weird, like, the table threw me off.
Very much so.
And then Matt?
Yeah. I just feel increasingly uncomfortable. Table threw me off, but I liked him when he came out of the table. It's just he's increasingly I get creeper a little bit from him these days.
Ava Pickett, anyone else think this was on Monday night and was extremely disappointed when you turned the TV on and Dancing with the Stars was actually on?
No, I know that this is on Tuesday. I purposely turn on Dancing with the Stars, and I have a way better time watching that than I do this.
Dang.
If I'm being honest with you, I'm having a great time watching Dancing with the Stars this season.
I still do get, like, Mondays. I still, like, kind of have that in my head. Bachelor Mondays, Bachelorette Mondays. But I think I'm used to it now. I just DVR it. Justin Feinberg, is Martin the first person since Psy to use the phrase sexy lady? Did Martin miss the memo everyone else got that Psy using sexy lady in such an absurdist way in Gangnam Style meant no one else could ever use that phrase and sound like a badass again?
I missed that too.
Yeah, when did he say that? See, Justin always points out like stuff that
Justin's the best. Yeah. He like watches it with eagle eye. Don't catch.
But that reminds me though, we didn't discuss Dweeb. Are we bringing Dweeb back? That name was calling Chris.
Very fitting.
Yeah.
Very fitting.
I think Dweeb is a great insult.
Very fitting for that situation.
Yes, one of the best.
Yeah. Will Harrington, I've noticed ratings going down each week. If they really want to do better in the ratings, should they throw whatever amount of money it would take to get Tyler Cameron as the next Bachelor? He would surely bring fans back who have stopped watching. He was wildly popular on Hannah's season in a way that hasn't been replicated since. Plus, I think girls would genuinely fight so hard for him because he is a catch, which would make for good TV.
I wish I hated this idea more. My only issue with it is that I would not be able to suspend my disbelief that Tyler Cameron is in this to find a relationship. He's going to be with that woman for 3 months after, and then that's it. Like, that's the way she goes.
But that's what we're getting anyway, right?
I mean, I guess. Yeah, you're right. So who gives an F? Like, let's just do it.
I didn't watch his that season, and I don't really care for what I have seen of him, so that means nothing to me. And it sucks that the ratings are going down. Again, I think we pointed out to some of the many reasons why, but also, yes, you know, it's just not a good look when your lead is like a black woman too, so that sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe the switch to Tuesday is also a factor.
I think there's a lot of moving parts with this.
I hate like blaming that. I don't know how much of a factor casting is in all of it, but it kind of sucks to blame Michelle for that. Like, I don't, they can make an entertaining show if they cast different people and if they just edit it differently. So I don't know. But yeah, black woman as the Bachelorette doesn't get the best ratings for obvious reasons, I'd say.
Missy Rice, do we think Michelle is a good lead? I feel like every week she is sad, and I feel like it's her fault. She needs to insert herself into the action, make comments, jokes, etc. She feels left out, but she's just sitting on the sidelines and not engaging with the guys.
This is kind of where I kept was saying, like, we're like literally, and I don't take this lightly, but like we're seeing her, a lot of her trauma on display, and I can't blame her for having those experiences. That's just the reality. So I don't think she's doing anything wrong. That's just the reality of like her identity and how she shows up.
I agree. I think Michelle is a great lead. And I feel like everything that she said this episode was warranted. We saw the men not doing what she needed them to do. She's the lead. You know what I'm saying? Like she's the lead. They need to be. Why are we expecting her to bend for them when every other lead in this series is the main person and should be fought for? Like, I think it's unfair, and it's not unfair for her to demand more from them. That is her right to demand more because she wants more from the person she wants to spend her life with. And I think that we need to get away from blaming women for having high standards or for speaking
for
out
for needs at
want.
All in a relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this was like a specific instance this episode, and it was gonna, you know, affect how she felt throughout that group date, and then it carried over to the cocktail party. But if we remember from like the cocktail parties before, I feel like she was really like getting in there with the guys, and on night one, like so quick with her responses and like teasing them, and like on the Rodney date, like she was all in. And maybe that wasn't her first choice of, you know, who she wanted one-on-one that week either. And so I think it was maybe just an off week for, you know, her feeling sad. And I think it was, yeah, totally justified. And then, you know, we're going to go back to Minnesota. I think that'll be a new energy, but I definitely think she's a strong lead. All right. That's it for questions. So Matt and Mari, I'd love to hear more about the wrestling wrap up. Tell people where you
can
find it.
Wait, I have takes from Doug before we get into the wrestling wrap.
All right.
Why aren't Caitlin and Tayshia the permanent hosts of the show? They do such a great job and offer so much support. Do you think there's any chance a guy who was The Bachelor 2 decades ago and is a terrible sports analyst can offer anywhere near the same insight and care?
Yeah.
So I think we still don't know for sure if Jesse Palmer is hosting The Bachelorette as well. So I would hope that maybe Caitlin and Tayshia can still have their jobs and that they weren't just the temporary, you know, couple season thing.
Yeah.
Remains to be seen, because apparently we have two Bachelor seasons back to back coming up. So
for what reason? Why we'll must see. They torture me? I'm trying to figure out what's more of an insult, saying Brandon is built like a 17-year-old or that Chris is a reptile. Also, if I could be as nubile as I was at 17, as flexible as a snake, I would be delighted. So perhaps they are compliments.
Yeah, at first I took the 17 as like, oh, he's strong. Like he's young, he's a 17-year-old, but then I was like, oh no, he's on the opposite team.
to be 17 and not have back pain would be great. Oh my god, I just felt my back, I literally heard my back crack a second ago. So
I've had a headache for 5 days straight because of the knots in my shoulder.
Oh my god,
I'm in so much pain.
Relatable.
I've heard rumors that Blake might be the next Bachelor, which would be a real shame. Ugh. A, I don't want to see him on TV again. B, Lisa, the squirrel owner and cosplay aficionado from Bachelor in Paradise Canada, which I have not been watching, lives right here in Southern Ontario. They could combine their love of animals and live happily together ever after.
Ooh, that's new info. I hadn't heard about her. I heard that rumor
too. I'm
pretty
sure she's from like Niagara too, this woman. I have to catch up on Bachelor in Paradise Canada. That will be eventually, maybe.
I really have to squash this rumor though. I do not think that they would go with Blake.
I don't think so either.
I really hope not. Jeez Louise. Too much.
And then the last one, everyone seemed to pretend to be pretty excited to visit Minnesota, but I'd like to know from Amy if it's really that great. Also, do you think they will head to the famed geographic anomaly, the Northwest Angle, for a date to get as close as humanly possible to Canada?
Ooh,
is that what they're going for? I don't know. Get as close to Canada as possible. I mean, Canada's great, but You don't want to
watch what you
want to go to Canada.
No.
Listen, I love Canada. I love Canada, and I just would rather be in Canada than look at Canada from afar.
Fair. Okay, I'll give you that. Doug is going to be really excited, Mari, that you're on this episode because he loves you and he thinks you're the best. So he's going to be thrilled.
Shout out to Doug.
Shout out to Doug. Yes.
Okay, so now tell us about the wrestling wrap up.
Yes. Mari, what's the wrestling wrap up?
Oh, my gosh. So every week, Matt Scott and I bring you the highlights in wrestling on the Wrestling Wrap Up. We also have wonderful guests from the RHAP community, and you know, we wrap up everything. You don't even have to watch wrestling. You could be a casual fan, you can have never watched, or you could be a hardcore fan. Just come and listen to us recap the week with some funny people, and you know, and enjoy this whoopee Winnie repertoire. You see right there, right there. That's what you need to tune in for. Tune in for the
wrestling. That's why I'm thinking of her wrestling.
Whoopi Goldberg is the new WWE Women's Champion. Breaking news. Yeah, and we provide a playlist of clips in the show notes each week. So if you don't watch wrestling, it's cool. You could just watch the playlist, or you don't even have to watch and you could listen to us. But we'd recommend watching the playlist of clips, like an hour and a half of clips, and then listening or watching us on YouTube.
Will the teddy bears be making the list of clips this
potentially
week?
Well, not the teddy bears. Oh,
no.
Okay.
Not at all. Come on, but you can find us. You can find us on the Reality TV Wrap Ups podcast feed, or on our own podcast feed, the Wrestling Wrap Up podcast feed. And like Matt said, on the our beautiful faces on YouTube at Rob Has a Podcast.
And smooth voices too on all the podcast apps. Those we love those five stars.
Yes.
Smooth, very smooth.
And where can people find you and keep up with you, Matt?
Oh my gosh. I thought you never asked. Well, you could find me on the Wrestling Wrap Up, as Mari mentioned. You could also find me on this really cool podcast, and that's the Bachelorette Wrap Up, like right now. Like I'm literally on it. Right now,
just listen to it again.
Yeah,
listen again, like, or just like keep listening, keep hitting that like 10 to 15 second back button. And also, this week was on the RHAP patron Q&A for Survivor 41, and thankfully that was dropped publicly. So that is on YouTube, on RHAP's YouTube, if you want to check that out. And other than that, I'm not going to say what this is, but I'm working on a project for RHAP platforms that will come out sometime in December. I'm not going to say anything else now yet, but something cool that we're doing that I probably shouldn't say anything else about yet.
Ooh, so cryptic.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Mari, yeah. Where can people find you?
Of course, you can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. You'll find me on the Wrestling Room Wrap Up every week. And of course, you can find me on Post Show Recaps. Talking about Insecure Season 5 for the fifth and final season of Insecure. Me, LaTanya Starks, and Chappelle are talking about Insecure every week. I mean, we are diving deep into these those episodes. We swear that every time we turn on the mic, we're like, we're not gonna make this long. It's a 30 minute show. We're not gonna make this long. And then we talk for 2 hours on episode 3. So go to the Post Show Recaps feed and catch us there. Leave 5 stars. Leave a comment letting them know that you love Insecure, because this is an amazing podcast. I'm so glad to be a part of it, and I'm so glad to be able to talk about this wonderful show that's really changed like my life and the life of all my other co-hosts. So please go check us out on Post Show Recaps.
And I feel like it's such a bingeable show too, like if you haven't caught so up good. On Insecure, like it's a
where do I watch
really
it?
Enjoyable. It's on HBO.
HBO Max.
Will I cry?
You'll laugh a lot.
Okay.
But you might also cry.
That's what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. I don't want to cry. I want to laugh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't we all?
And Haley, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at hstrong_. You can
check out my Bookstagram at The Strong Library. And then Grease Leader and I, we talk about Taskmaster every Friday night live on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/HaleyStrong.
Love it. And then you can find me on Twitter at RHAP Recapper and podcasting about Married at First Sight. It's coming to an end, but, you know, they're always going to renew it. So hopefully Asia and I will get renewed as well. But we have our own podcast feed, Ooh. Married at First Sight Wrap Up, or on Reality TV Wrap Ups, where you can hear all of us. So, yeah, choose which way. Subscribe to both of them. Who knows?
But, all of them. Yeah. Subscribe to everything and leave everything 5 stars, and only 5 stars if you're... We're going to leave 4 stars. Just bump it up to an extra 5. Yeah. If we're only one, don't. Just don't.
Yeah. And yeah. And if you're listening now, do that. But then tweet me at Matt Scotchy W and say that you did that and actually have a screenshot, because then I'll tweet you how much I love you for rating 5 stars. Like, that's what it's all about. I forgot to plug my Twitter, yeah, so that was my way of plugging my Twitter. Yeah, yeah, I'll do what I just said.
Excellent. Very smooth. Very smooth.
I was going to say, you could get a star back, but, you know, now Twitter is hearts, right? So, but, you know, when you used to like it with the star, I could fave it. It's kind of the same concept.
We're really dating ourselves.
I know, but, you know.
I mean, it would be great if Michelle just dated herself, because I don't know if any of these guys are up to
No!
That's a podcast for another time.
Perfect way to end. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Matt, Mari, this is so much fun. Thank you for joining us. Until next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.